Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Again,
episode three.
Let's do it. I'm here with Noah Chant again. I'm gonna be super upfront and apologize for what's going on with my voice and my throat. I've got a bunch of congestion, nose, nasal, throat, chest stuff going on.
The exact stuff you want inside of a microphone,
exactly.
While recording a podcast.
Exactly. Honestly, there's a little part of me that's nervous that I'm going to sound better this way. And
yeah,
then from
more
here
like
on out,
man,
people are going to be like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to go from John Wayne back to Pee Wee Herman in the next week.
I can get much lower.
Yeah. He's really going
my
for
register.
It this time.
Yeah. I'll try to keep it up here.
Yeah. Just try to keep it at Hess levels.
Okay. So I'm really excited for what we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. And starting with tonight, I wanted to venture, and I think everything will be within the context of beloved identity.
Yeah.
And everything will be, you know, moving forward pretty much within that context, that understanding of the discovery of who the Lord is and who we are. And tonight, I specifically wanted to get into the topic of hearing God's voice and the necessity of that in discovering who he is. Because I think even before I want to talk about who we are in him, I think we need to talk about who he is.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Yeah. Well, I think we can't know ourselves until we know him.
No, we can't.
You know,
because
the discovery is him first, and then
yeah,
he defines us.
Yeah. And I think the less we know him, the less we can know ourselves. The less
totally.
We can know who we are.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the reverse. You know, we talk about this a lot on Sundays, but it's, excuse me, it's the reverse gospel that we're trying to change, where
yeah,
the gospel predominantly, it seems, of the West right now is to focus on us, and the gospel of Scripture,
yeah,
you know, the gospel of Jesus is actually focusing on Christ.
Yeah.
And letting that transform you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's actually not about you.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. there's going to be a lot of throat clearing tonight, so I'm going to do my best to keep that out of the mic.
It's not like you're the host or anything, so.
I was thinking about this just earlier today, and thinking about like my history with hearing God's voice.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, is there like a time in your life where you were unaware of the reality that God is one who speaks?
Not really. I mean, we grew up in, you know, predominantly like Pentecostal, like evangelical, you know, charismatic Christianity. So
yeah.
That was never really in our circles.
Yeah.
I was as a child more waiting for the audible voice.
Sure.
I don't think I understood the internal,
yeah,
you know, dialogue Christ has with us, you know, or the Holy Spirit has with us. I think
yeah.
I was waiting more for, like, eventually you start to hear, like, when my dad, you know, growing up would say, like, you know, the Lord told me, like, I thought he meant like he told me, you know, like he called me, basically.
Like there was this big booming audible voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know it was an internal thing. And I think, you know, when I was growing up, there was almost a disappointment that it wasn't that way.
Yeah.
Until I realized, like, it was made very specifically that way. So that was a big change for me.
Yeah.
But I always knew that the voice of God was available.
Yeah.
You know, I will say it wasn't until I got very old, into my 20s, that I knew that it was more dialogue than, like, question and answer.
Okay.
In a sense, you know what I mean? Like, it was less like, hey, like, I need to know what I need to do for this job or getting married or whatever this is.
Sure.
And it was like, do that. Yes, no. Like, I never realized the more conversation side of it, I think, until I got older.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was a lot more me interceding and then eventually getting a small answer and then moving on.
Yeah.
Not knowing that he could actually lead most of the dialogue and I could actually just sit there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that you say that too, because I think for a lot of people, the concept of hearing God's voice is something that people tap into for the purpose of finding out what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
When it's first meant to be who you are and
right.
who he is.
So, yeah.
And I think people jump to, and that's so important that we start simple and that we start start asking questions, not about what am I supposed to do, but who do you say I am? Who are you and who do you say I am?
Right.
Because until we establish that intimate relational connection, he's just going to be somebody I go to when I have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and even like, you know, in Romans, when it says, you know, how whole is a person that's heard the declaration of righteousness?
Yeah.
That means I would have had to have personally heard Abba's voice declare me righteous.
Yeah.
That's not like, it's not like the telephone game.
Yep.
Where, you know, like Abba gets to tell me, then I go tell a group of people.
Right.
It's like, no, like, you know, and I even try to talk about that when I'm speaking is this is the invitation for you to go hear beloved identity, yourself from him.
Right.
This is not Noah trying to tell you you're beloved because that won't really change anything about you.
Right.
But when you hear Yahweh tell you that.
Yeah. You can hear any pastor from a stage give a good message and it could mean something to you.
Yeah.
And I think we've both heard messages that have profoundly impacted us.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's something about the God who created you speaking identity into you that does something that nothing else could.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think, you know, it often for most remains good theology.
Sure.
It never gets to the heart because of that. You know what I mean? Because of the reality of like, well, I keep hearing it and I want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep saying it. Well, it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's actually him telling you directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what complete wholeness comes over a person when he hears the declaration of righteousness
or,
you know, I won't hold your sins against you.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I ask you that question too, because I had a very different experience than you did in terms of like growing up.
Big time.
Because we both grew up in the church.
We did. But not the same sector.
No, pretty different. I grew up Presbyterian and there's a lot of good that came from that.
Sure.
But as I, you know, Katie and I were married and we were into our early to mid-20s before anybody actually taught me that God still speaks. Not only does he still speak, but I'm actually created to like hear his voice and to dialogue with him.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine being like, wait, what?
Hold on.
Hold on.
I'm not Moses.
Yeah. And so that was a really like radical life-changing revelation for me, and eventually, probably not this episode, but I do want to get into an episode where we talk about the practicality of hearing his voice and the development and implementation of that in our lives.
Yeah,
because I don't just want to talk like theology, but
no,
I like to equip. Yeah, we like to equip.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
But anyways, Katie and I were in a ministry school and. That was how it started. It was the concept of hearing God's voice. And I was like, everything in my life is upside down right now.
Yeah.
Like everything is changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I said this to a group of young boys I was talking to. I said, how, honestly, if you carry the faith we do, how could you not want to hear the voice of the creator of the cosmos? Like take away all the Jesus stuff, take away, you know, all the other stuff that you want about it.
Mm-hmm.
To know that you could actually hear the voice of the creator, of the person whose voice spoke the cosmos into existence.
Right.
And that guy wants to talk to you. Like, if that alone is not enough to push you into a life of prayer, I don't know what to tell you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you realize, and to realize it at such a, you know, later stage in life, because you must have been in ministry school 26?
Probably about 24, 24, okay. 25 maybe.
You're 58 now. I'm just kidding.
It's time to trim my beard if that's what you're thinking. But yeah, to have that hit me at that stage in life was really profound. And it did come with, initially it came with a lot of frustration for me,
yeah,
to know that I'd been in church for 20 some years and I didn't know that God was so relational.
Yeah.
And that he wanted to know me and speak to
sure.
me. But then on the other hand, I also know that like the church I grew up in, the pastors I had, you know, could only give me what they had.
Yeah.
And so
for sure.
it wasn't like
they were hiding a secret.
They were not hiding a secret from me, you know?
Yeah.
I just hadn't been in a place yet where I was around people who could yeah. actually walk me through
yeah.
that process.
Well, and there's almost, it feels like an authenticity to non-charismatics coming into more of the supernatural realm, because like
yeah.
where I grew up and how I grew up was, you know, as much as people wouldn't want to say this, you kind of faked it till you made it.
Sure.
Like, oh, you can't speak in tongues? Well, like, just get at the altar and just get trying. And once something starts clicking, go with it.
Make a couple weird sounds and
yeah,
see what happens.
If a guy pushes your head hard enough, you go down. I mean, what's the worst? The worst that could happen is it worked, or you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, you faked it till you made it. And so for you to come in, there must have been, like a real authenticity to, if the Holy Spirit's going to move in me and something's going to happen to me externally, whether it's, you know, speaking in tongues or...
Yeah,
you know what people would call manifesting, whatever it is, falling on spirit, whatever thing happens,
uh-huh.
you know it's genuine because
yeah.
you didn't grow up that way.
Yeah,
you I don't know those.
I didn't really have a grid for like faking that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and so yeah, we would experience some really radical things, and I guess yeah, in a way you're right, and that was kind of like a way that I could gauge the authenticity of what we were experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like,
I didn't know that this was something that I even like could be making up.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
like growing up, like you'd see the person in the back, be like, I saw an angel. And you're like, did you see an angel? You know, but for you, it's like, no, when like I saw something and it's
yeah.
changed everything about me because
yeah.
I didn't know that happened. You
yeah.
know, I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. Like now I get in the presence and my right leg trembles.
Yeah.
And you've seen that. And
I
like
have.
That's not something I would have known to make up.
No.
Until your dad prayed for me a long time ago, which that's probably another story we should share sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
If we've got time, because that's a fun story too. but yeah, that's just been, it's been a really fun, I guess, I was going to say that was like 10 years ago, but I'm really not that old. But
that was
been,
probably,
it was
7 or 8, probably 7. We've known
yeah.
each other for 11.
Yeah. And so for the past, 7 or 8 years, it's been, it felt like at times, like Katie and I have just been like on a rocket ship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To where like, it never felt like we had much movement or growth in our spiritual lives up
yeah.
until this point. And all right. of a sudden it was like that seal was broken where we began to actually engage
mm-hmm.
with the voice and the heart of the Father himself.
Yeah.
And everything in our lives changed
right.
forever.
Yeah. Well, and too, like, you know, I think there is a moment of like supernatural intoxication.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I just want to do like, I want to get into the weird stuff, man. Let's,
yeah.
let's like, get in a room and start praying and see whatever happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
like, and you kind of, you can kind of lose focus, kind of on the purpose of presence in that sometimes.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to, you come back around to the supernatural once again being about seeing the face of Jesus.
Yeah.
Not about experience
yeah.
or emotion,
yeah.
but about encounter with his eyes. You know what I mean? And like,
right.
and that's even something no matter when you start, you have to go through of like, oh man, at first I just, whatever we're going to do, man, let the Holy Spirit do whatever's got to do. I'll do whatever I got to do. Say whatever I got to say.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, I think I've become like a, I don't know the right word for it. You almost become like, this sounds bad, but like an encounter junkie, but in the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
then you have to come back around like, oh, right, this is about encountering his face.
Right.
And being, you know, face to face with Yeshua the Christ.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's been... that's been a big part of my testimony too, is finding that balance, because Katie and I did, we jumped headfirst, man, into the deep end, into the weird stuff. You know, we wanted whatever it was that the Lord had for us that we had yet to experience. We wanted
it. Zero to 1,000.
Yeah, right. We wanted it.
Yeah.
And it did, I think you're right, it did come to a place where, you know, it was almost like the pendulum swung so far to the other side that I'd come to this place where I assumed that if something wasn't causing me to like shake or tremble or like fall to the ground, then it wasn't the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then we've kind of settled in this place where, yeah, those things happen for sure, you know? But at the same time, I think there's just as much to say about the supernatural, supernaturalness, I guess you could say, of just being in like a still, quiet place with the Lord.
Yeah, well, you realize it's actually not about emotion. It is about encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And not unfortunately, the reality is encounter doesn't always include emotion.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in moments that I felt were super holy. I'm not crying.
Right.
I'm not in the floor. No one's yelling. It's not loud. Yep. But I can feel the presence, but it's not like this, like, overwhelming. I'm trembling. I just know that something changed in me. I always relate it to when David's playing his harp for Saul, and Saul's getting freed, like, from, you know, basically from demonic possession.
Yeah.
Where Saul, I think, in this sense, almost doesn't know what's changing, but that he's changing, because he's not doing anything. He's just laying down hearing the harp.
Sure.
But yet something internally in him is actually, his genetics are changing. And you don't always feel that.
Yeah.
But when you walk out of it, you're different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yep. And I find that that's true, especially, it can happen in sort of like a dramatic fashion where something happens in a moment.
Yeah.
But there's also something to be said about like the progressive, like longevity of just relationship with him, to where you may not feel things changing in the moment, but you look back 3-5 years ago and you think, whoa, something radically has shifted
something
in me over
in me
time. And I didn't feel, I couldn't tell you when it happened or what happened exactly. But what I know is that after spending 3 years just letting myself be loved by the Father and dialoguing with him, I'm a different person.
Yeah. And I think you notice it in the little things. You know, you can hear things like, hey, like your air unit's gone out, it's going to be 10 grand to get a new one. And somehow you're not stressed about that.
Yeah, exactly.
And there was no moment you look back to in your journal where it's like, hey, you're never going to stress about your air unit again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you just know that you've entered into the realm of the kingdom. And in the kingdom realm, there is no stress. There is no fear.
Yep.
Especially of who your provider is or who's going to take care of you.
Yep.
There's none of that. And so you don't know what happened. All you know is that everything about you is slowly changing in every area.
And I think that's probably just the product really of, I think that's what happens when you know him.
Yeah.
Because you know, because through spending time just dialoguing with him, letting him speak to me, letting him love me, letting him be revealed to me in greater and more real ways than ever had been before, I'm finding that I'm more acquainted with his character, with his nature. I'm finding that he really is that good. He really does love me. He really is safe. He really does protect and provide for me.
Yeah.
And you're right. The more you discover who he is after having spent time with him, talking to him, you're right. All of a sudden, like, oh, I've got a flat tire, but, or I was just rear-ended, but
I'm fine.
Weird, like I'm totally fine. Not only that, but I'm remembering it was Thanksgiving, not this past Thanksgiving, but the one before that, I'm pretty sure. Katie and I were in South Carolina visiting her sister and her family. And on our way home, we were rear-ended. And it was like, you know, we've got 2 young kids in the car.
Yeah.
We're stranded on the side of a highway, and it was just it was not a good situation,
right,
especially knowing that we still have like 8 hours ahead of us.
Yeah, that's the,
you know, it was like the front end. Point. It wasn't like we were almost home, you know,
about 30 minutes from the house.
And so that happened, but the way we were able to respond to that situation was so unbelievably different to how it would have been 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we like literally we sat and like we prayed with the guy who rear-ended us, and we got to, you know, like we weren't stressed, we weren't
right
angry, we weren't anything. We just, you know,
yeah, you're and just it, different.
It, we yeah, you're just different.
You are, and I'm, and I think too, like the deeper you go down that rabbit hole in that revelation, you also realize you're more like him than you think you are.
Yeah,
which is a whole other thing.
Yeah,
you know, I even think of the Chosen because, you know, just the reality is, like, a big part of my family history in our life is, like, you know, to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like, humor is probably the most predominant thing in my family.
Yeah.
And watching The Chosen and seeing, you know, the Jesus in this show basically have, like, the best sense of humor on the show is, like,
yeah,
this is my Jesus, you know? Yeah. And you think, there's this moment where you go, we're more alike than I thought we were.
Yeah.
And it's not this whole thing of, like, here's all the things you aren't.
Yeah.
And here's how you're not like me. It's actually, I find, is more like, no. We're a lot alike.
Yeah.
You just don't want to see that yet because you have so much shame in you.
Yeah.
But we're a ton alike, and that is like a whole other aspect of it where you're like, whoa, not only am I changing, but like the pieces of me that are left were like Jesus from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just wild. I was thinking there are a couple of verses I wanted to read. This story stuck out to me years ago, and it really profoundly hit me. But this is 1 Samuel. I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 1. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. And it starts by saying, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli." And it says something very similar in the previous chapter, chapter 2 somewhere, once or twice. One or two more times, it mentions that he's in the temple and he's ministering to the Lord. And then right after this is the whole story where, I won't read it, but it's the whole story where, like, the Lord is calling out to Samuel in the night, and he thinks it's Eli. And so he's back and forth. And Eli's like, man, I don't, it's not me.
It's not me.
You know, get out of here, go back to bed.
Yeah.
But he's hearing a voice, right?
Yeah.
And then I love this. It says, where is that? I should have had this highlighted. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." And I was reading that one day, and I felt like it felt like a very profound, like, Holy Spirit-inspired thought of, whoa, I wonder how many people just like Samuel are in the temple or in the church ministering and serving the Lord who don't yet know him.
Right.
Samuel didn't really know him. Until the word, the voice of the Lord was revealed to him.
That is so good. It's that is so real.
And I'm finding in my life that there is a real correlation between dialoguing with the Lord and knowing him.
Yeah.
And this isn't like an issue of salvation. Like, you're not saved if you've not heard. It's not about being saved. It's about knowing the one who made you.
It is. Well, but I think too, like, with that, I think you're coming to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is, as long as it's just about being saved, you don't really have to know him super well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that makes it interesting, because the process doesn't become, basically, your lifespan is not about growing in deep intimacy with him.
Yeah.
It's about doing enough things to make sure you get to the next level, which is, you know, heaven, as I'm air quoting.
Yeah, it's not about, that's what religion has done. It's not about how well can I get to know the one who loves me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how can I appease this angry God.
Right.
Who Jesus is trying to save me from.
Yeah.
But there's this angry father who I'm just trying to do enough good to get by and to get into heaven.
We have no relationship. Right. And it's not about our relationship. It's just about, you know, me making sure I have enough points on my on my application, you know. And you can almost say it's I feel like a lot of people in the church, because they haven't heard his voice and carry intimacy with him, they almost have this relationship with Yahweh like they would like a celebrity. You know, like, I'm pretty convinced.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of the biggest Tom Brady fans on the planet. I really am. I love Tom Brady.
Yeah, me too. It's crazy.
But, like, Brian is not a sports fan, by the way. The fact that he knows who Tom Brady is a big deal. But the reality is, like, I don't know any of Tom Brady's likes. I don't know, like, his favorite foods. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know his interest. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
You know, if we were going to hang out and tell you where to go or what to do, I don't have any type of intimate relationship with him. But I've seen other people. I've seen him on a screen. I've heard about him enough that I'm a fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without actually having something intimate, you know, and there's, it's almost this way a lot, yep. I think, within the church right now is like, yeah, like I go on Sundays.
Yeah.
I hear the messages, you know, I've done a couple devotional books and I have this idea of him.
Right.
This great idea of him. And I maybe have heard his voice a couple times here or there, but like,
yeah,
there's an intimacy of that daily thing of waking up and he's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'd put it this way, that what's happened is we have exchanged knowing him for just knowing about him.
Yep. Yeah.
We know.
That's so good.
And it's almost like you saying, or I'll use Peyton Manning as an example.
Whoa. So,
listen, I've met Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I shook his hand. I've driven his car, two of his cars.
Whoa.
But it wasn't as cool as maybe
the first time you drove his first car, did you have to ask someone who that was? And they said, hey, that's Peyton Manning.
I was like, man, that guy's tall. I will say his hand about wrapped around mine twice.
Yeah.
Humongous hands.
Yeah.
Anyways, I could go on Wikipedia and read all about him.
Sure.
And learn a lot of facts about Peyton Manning, about Tom Brady. And I find that oftentimes that's what people do, is they'll read the Bible and they'll settle for collecting information and facts about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When actually that's meant to be the thing to lead you to a relationship with him.
Yeah. Well, and even like, as much as people don't probably want this scripture all the time, Jesus says it's the Holy Spirit that will lead you into all truth.
Yeah.
Which means that it's your ability to understand our individual relationship and to hear my voice through the Holy Spirit that will lead you into all truth.
Yeah.
Which lets me know that I can read scripture and not get the truth of it.
Yeah.
It can be good theology.
Yep.
It can be, you know what I mean? And how many people have read scripture, maybe even from like an atheist standpoint, to say, okay, let's see if there's something in this. But it's more than words on a page.
Yeah.
It's connected to a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the Holy Spirit that actually leads us into all this stuff. So it's intimacy that actually uncovers all the scriptures to us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah.
You know, and how many people are lost from encounter because I've read scriptures. It's like, yeah, but the scriptures are an invitation. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, but I love the way Apostle Damon has said it before. And I don't know if I've said it on here, but you know, he talked about his wife, and I'll just use Bailey. Like if Bailey wrote me a love letter, like I'm not going to bed with the letter. You know what I mean? I'm going to bed with Bailey.
Yeah.
Like the letter is an invitation to be with Bailey.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the scriptures are the invitation.
Yeah.
Into intimacy with him. So I'm not going to bed with the scriptures. Like I'm going to go find him.
Yeah.
Through them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go find him.
That's so good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it. I really like that analogy. I've heard it this way too, that you know, a lot of times we'll make the Bible like the meal. Like that's all we've got.
Right.
Is all we've got is scripture. It's actually the menu.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can open the Bible and in the Bible, you find out what's available.
Sure.
And then you go experience that.
Yeah. You go get with Jesus and get into that.
Yeah.
That's why I think the Psalms are even so powerful from a scripture perspective, because the Psalms are almost like literal invitations.
Yeah.
You know, they're poetic invitations into deep presence. How many times have you entered presence just reading the Psalms and you how did it end up here?
Yeah.
In this encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? But they are the invitation.
Yeah.
Into the thing, because as John would say, like the word became flesh.
Yeah.
And the word dwelt among us.
Yeah.
And the Bible is not the word, Jesus is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, the Bible's an amazing word of God, but Jesus is the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And that comes back too to what you were saying a minute ago about like he is the truth and that he's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. And that immediately tells me that if he sent his Spirit to lead and guide us into truth, then there must be things that we're believing that are untrue, or else we wouldn't need a guide.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, and I think that's a very foundational element when it comes to developing a relationship with the Lord and learning to hear his voice and dialoguing with him.
Yeah.
It gives him a place to start revealing the things that you thought were true about him that are actually untrue.
Yep. That is so, I mean, and that's it. Like, you know, it makes me think of I believe it's John 10, when Jesus says, you know, those who, you know, who hear my voice know me.
Yeah.
You know, and I have them.
Yeah.
And he says, like, to those people, what he says is, I give to them eternal life.
Wow.
You know, and as I've been talking about on Sundays, as Jesus would describe eternal life.
Go ahead.
Is not life after death, you know. Yep. But eternal life is to know the Father and the Son in whom he sent.
Yeah.
So those who hear my voice know me. And they will come to me, and when they come to me, they're given eternal life, which means they're actually given the full ability now to know the Father and the Son in whom he sent.
Right.
So hearing his voice is the invitation into the discovery of fully who he is.
Right.
And he's holding nothing back.
Yeah. And that, like, that just kind of brings you back to square one of what he intended all along.
Yeah.
Was just to know and be known.
To walk with you in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
It always leads back, you know, like as corny as it sounds, you know, it started in a garden, ended in a garden, you know what I mean? But the reality is it is the idea that his desire, when he makes mankind, the important thing is to walk with me in the cool of the day.
Yeah.
To be with me, to encounter me.
Yeah.
You know, and even when Adam makes the mistake, Yahweh doesn't stop the pursuit, Adam does.
Right.
So even after Adam would, you know, sin, it's Adam who stops the pursuit and Yahweh still meets.
Right.
Like Yahweh still showed up at dinner. You're the one that didn't show up.
Yeah. Yeah. He was still there in the garden.
Yeah. And that's what the whole thing is. Jesus is saying again, come to me, hear my voice. You'll know it's me and you'll have eternal life.
Yeah.
And you'll know me.
Yeah.
You know,
you'll know me and you'll know our Father.
Yeah.
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 And that too, you know, reminds me of just how, just what a profound revelation that would have been for like Jews around that time when Jesus was walking on the earth, revealing, you know, and I'm trying to remember exactly where it was. I know it was like post-resurrection. Oh yeah, it was post-resurrection. He's talking to Mary, the Marys. And one of the first things he says to them, he says, go find the other disciples and tell them that I'm going, basically I'm paraphrasing, but that I'm back, but that I'm going to be ascending to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father.
Yeah.
And that is like such a profound revelation.
Yeah.
That would have been that who God was, who the Father was to Jesus is exactly who he is to us.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and even Romans would say that he is the first as we share in the same inheritance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so there's a thing about this identity that is attached to hearing his voice. And that's why hearing his voice, you know, whether it was in our ministry school or this, is really the foundational piece. It's actually the foundation of Jesus's ministry. Like I've been going through once again. I've done it before, but just going through and constantly reading all the parts where, you know, Jesus withdrew.
Sure.
You know, Jesus would often withdraw. The crowds wouldn't look for them, but he'd withdrawn. And, you know, and you're learning, like, it is the lifeblood and the source of this life.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly central to our experience as his children, you know? And when you said that, it reminded me, it's there's once in, I think it's John 5:19, and I think another one in John 12:49-50, where Jesus says, he basically says, whatever you hear me say, it's what I heard the Father say. Or whatever you see me do, it's because I saw the Father doing it.
Yep. My words are not
and
my own.
They're not my own. Everything you've heard me say comes actually from the Father. Mm-hmm. And so that makes me think, okay, if Jesus relied that heavily on hearing the voice of the Father leading and guiding him, how much more so do we need that?
I mean, you know what I mean? Well, it's the same thing I say about like being in kingdom family, being at church, being in community.
Yeah.
If the, you know, I think I said this before and even on the podcast, if the apostolic church felt the importance to gather every day in the temple and gather every day for dinner.
Yeah.
How are we not seeing even once a week?
Yeah.
As a major importance.
Right.
A major importance.
Right.
It's like it's totally left. It's like, well, that was them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so different now. we're so much further along than them.
You know? They really needed that more than
yeah,
we do.
Like we've got this down. They were kind of they weren't it. You know, and it's like
yeah.
And Jesus constantly shows, you know, models that life, and I think it there's so much intentionality in that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the, you know, all the apostles saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's another, you know, importance, you know, to on fathers and sons.
Yeah.
Is they saw their father, their spiritual father.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Model this life of prayer, and they modeled the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How often does Paul say in his letters, you know, we're praying for you, you know, praying yeah. for you without ceasing.
Yeah.
We constantly pray for you.
Right.
And all, you know, all his different, you know, letters. And it's like everything in the Christian life is built upon prayer.
Yeah.
Everything about this journey is based upon prayer.
Sure.
Everything.
Yeah.
Hearing his voice, being able to commune with him,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and honestly practicing that.
Yeah.
Being okay with like not having it down and practicing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what we'll get into as when we venture into like the more practical application and implementation of this into our lives. Because I don't want to assume that everybody is actively practicing this or even would know how to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and also, you know, allowing yourself to practice this outside of like religious duty.
Yeah.
Not hearing this and going, oh man, I got to start praying now.
Yeah. I'm going to start getting up at 4 a.m. every day and, you know, listening, you know?
I'm going to John Wesley this thing and start praying for 3-4 hours in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, but like, it's not that. I think it's more the reality that how could you not want that? How could you not want to commune with him?
Yeah.
And two, the realest, truest, most authentic version of me is found in his voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's found in his voice and looking at his face. And I think you've talked about this before, because the closer I look into his face, into his eyes, I eventually see my reflection.
Right.
Looking back at me, you know what I mean? Through his pupils.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's only found from his voice to his face.
Yep. And the closer you get, yeah, that was a thing Mateo used to do years ago in Foundations. He would do this thing where he would have me stand on one side of the room and he would stand on the other, and he would have me gradually take steps closer and closer to him. And every so often he would stop me and say, "What do you see?" And I would describe what I see until we got close enough. And you get close enough, you actually see your reflection of yourself in the other person's eyes.
Right.
And that's the goal.
Right.
To get so close to Jesus that when you look in his eyes, what you see is a reflection of yourself in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great like ministry tool for young men that are on dates. Like, I just want to show you how close you're supposed to be with Jesus.
Exactly. Well, how do you think I'm married to Katie?
And then, and then be like, well, since we're here. No, but it is like, it's so real that like I have found in my own life, especially in the past like 4 or 5 years more than ever, that I can feel an emptiness in me when I don't feel like I've been in prayer.
Mm.
And it's not like, oh man, I can't believe I haven't been praying.
Sure.
It's like I start to feel like almost like a spiritual drowsiness.
Sure.
It's like, I got to get in some prayer, man.
Yeah.
Like and it's not like shame or like
a, yeah, it's not a religious duty.
No, no, no. It's like, dude, like I feel alive on this.
Well, and it's like you would if you were away from Bailey for a week.
Yes.
That'd be awful.
Yeah.
You know? I've been away from Katie for a couple of days at a time, or maybe a week at the most. And by the end, you're like, I've got to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Imagine if you had no phone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's mm-hmm. when it's really like, yeah. I can honestly say like, you know, whenever I've done like, you know, cause like I did like a spiritual retreat by myself, like out at a cabin in the woods, right after me and Bailey got married. And I was basically alone for like 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, like when I heard her voice again,
yeah.
It's like almost sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you're like, oh, how much I miss that. And you kind of forget it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like you can forget.
Yeah.
That's why like it must be so hard for people like even at war.
Yeah.
Imagine going away for a year and never hearing someone's voice. And then you come back and like you hear, oh, right, that was it. You know? And there's that thing with him where it's like when you hear his voice again, it calms you.
It does.
Brings you back into peace.
And I think maybe that's a hurdle. Some people might need to get over is overcoming the fear or maybe the assumption that when you hear his voice, what you're going to hear is condemnation for not having spent enough time with him.
Yep.
But if we can get ourselves over that hurdle, the first thing he's going to do is tell you how much he loves you.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I think, too, that's where even people begin to stumble in prayer, because when they begin to hear the voice of the Lord, they begin to oftentimes process that it's not him, because he wouldn't speak that kindly to me.
Yeah.
How many people, yeah. you know what I mean, have shut off prayer and hearing the voice of Yahweh because it's actually, well, he wouldn't be that nice to me.
Yeah.
So that must be Noah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Abba wouldn't talk to me like that, but Noah would.
Yeah.
I've heard him say things to me and I'm like, oh, no, yeah. no.
Wrong guy.
Wrong fella. yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I know, you know, now more than ever that's him. Mm-hmm. And I have found more and more in my time with him, his desire less to talk to me about growth and more to talk to me about his obsession with me.
Yeah. Right.
We have very few conversations, yeah. me and Abba,
yeah.
about like, hey, like you need to, you know, get ready for this, gear up for that. You know, I'm leading you into this. This is going to happen. It's yep. more like, man, like you're doing it. Like, I love you.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. I can't believe you're doing that. I can't yep. believe I'm proud of you for this. I'm proud of you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, yep. well, this has just been one big pep talk. I'm happy about it. But, right. you know, it almost kind of freaks yeah. you out a bit because
yep.
that is his focus.
Right.
Is me.
And you'll find that as you let him build you up, that just might be the thing that prepares you for whatever is coming.
Yeah.
The next season, the next whatever, yeah. whatever well, that is.
And even like a part of even like my testimony and my like personal like restoration, not into like ministry or anything, but more of my heart and my mind to mm-hmm. do anything like in ministry or even just for my relationship with Abba came out of my personal father's love for me through being the worst version of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like somehow my dad, no matter how bad I got for a while,
yep.
always chose to love me and actually see me basically seated in heavenly places too.
Yeah.
And because of that, it brought me to life. Like,
yep.
because there was no interventions or you need to get your stuff together, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if you don't change, you're out of here. You know, we're yep. kicking you out.
Yep.
There was actually never any of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was always moments of grace and love.
Yeah.
And there were times where I would do stuff and I would make one small right decision and 40 bad ones.
Yep.
And he'd say, like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I even think, like, I have this strong belief. It's one of the main reasons why Adam even hid from Yahweh.
Hmm.
I almost think attached to the shame of what had happened was his understanding that Yahweh would not turn him away from him and he didn't deserve that.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm going to hide from you.
Wow.
I know you're going to, you know what I mean? You know mm-hmm. when, you know what it's like when you're a kid and you did something bad and no one ever found out, but internally you're just dying inside. You know what I mean?
Like it's, no. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's the worst. And I think that's what Adam was facing in that moment is, man, I've sinned.
Yeah.
And I know that he's going to hug me anyway. And I don't want to be hugged when I feel
wow.
icky.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The part of that hiding from Abba was more this like, man, he's so loving. He's going to, but I've got to get away from that.
Yep.
And it's almost like a self-rejection of his love. And I experienced yep. that with my personal father of like,
sure.
No, dad, like it's worse than you think.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but it's like, oh, I don't care.
Yep. Yep.
And those restoration moments, hearing that voice tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yep.
It changes yep. you from a genetic level, man.
Yep. It changes you more than anything could. And I think that whole concept that you were talking about of Adam being the one to choose to turn away out of mm-hmm. fear of receiving something he didn't feel deserving of,
yeah.
I think is something that has carried on in religious tradition. Even today.
Oh, yeah.
This idea that, like, if people knew, or if God really knew how messed up, how broken, how stupid, how sinful I am, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, then he'd know that I really don't deserve this. And
right.
what we do is we reject on the basis of our actions.
Yeah.
Not, you know, not realizing that if we give him the opportunity to love us through that, that's actually the thing that changes everything else.
Yeah. Well, and the reality is like, the reality is it's the truth that, and it's hard for us to understand that he chose me first. And there's almost right. no debate yeah. after that. Yeah. Like, well, I chose you first. So like, I don't care that you don't think that I yeah. shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Yeah.
And you're mine. So you know what I mean? Like deal with it.
yeah.
You know, like deal with it. Cause I love you.
Right.
I'm obsessed with you. You know what I mean? It's yeah. the same thing with marriage.
Yeah.
You're never going to marry someone with no problems or no issues. I mean, Bailey yeah. doesn't have any, but I know I have a bunch. but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know that through all the faults that I may have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, the fact that Bailey's married to me and she's around me when I watch sports is a miracle. you know, it's an absolute miracle that we're still together. But the reality is like, well, I chose you knowing this.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving. I chose you knowing who you were.
Yeah.
But I love you.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I had a thought and then it just went away. but yeah, I completely agree. That was over the last 8 years or so of my life, looking back. Nothing has changed me more than just finding out how good and loving the Father is and knowing that he's willing to choose me every day.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep.
Every minute of every day, no matter what.
Yeah. Even if I never did anything else for him.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I mean?
And it's so backwards from the religious gospel that a lot of people have heard and preached that, you know, there's something in us that often wants to, we want to earn his love.
Yeah.
We want to earn his affection.
Yeah.
And we think that if I can do enough good, then he'll love me.
Yeah.
Not realizing that actually his love is what makes you great.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. he'll love whatever is currently residing in you, whatever you have become, whatever you are doing that is in opposition to who he says you are, that will go the more you find out that you're loved by yeah. him and that you're chosen by him.
Yeah. Well, and that was really the issue. Like, as much as we villainized them, and yeah, they did terrible things, but as much as we villainized the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that was really their issue.
Yeah.
It had a lot less to do with who Jesus was and a lot more to do with what rules he wasn't giving them.
Yeah.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
Right.
Who are we supposed to?
Yeah.
Like, what's the rule book now?
Yeah.
If you're here.
Well, what is, like, what commandments should we be yeah. following now?
Yeah. If, what, you know? And that's what they were always asking him. yeah. What's the, you know, like, what's yeah. the biggest commandment? well, if this person marries this person does this person, who do we,
yep.
you know what I mean? It was always law driven.
Yep.
And that's the hard thing. That's what every, it seems from the time Jesus was here until now, the stumbling block has always been, okay, well, now what do I do?
Right. Yeah.
Now what do I do? Now who am I? Like, how do I get involved? And it's like, well, it's not how it works. It's just surrender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, yep. it, you know, it even says, I think in Hebrews 4, it says that Jesus, you know, now rests in his finished work. And we're invited into the rest of his finished work.
Yeah. yep.
So the invitation we get from Christ is to rest in the fact that he did it.
Yeah. That's a hard thing.
It's a hard thing, man.
It's a hard thing to...
Well, yeah. because from birth until we die, everything is on a scale.
Yeah.
You know, how much you weigh, your schooling, you know, you get graded from A yep. to, you know, A to C, you know, yeah. D or whatever.
How many goals did you score?
How many goals did you score? Yeah. What's your stats? What's your GPA?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. I really felt I was speaking and there was some college students there and I really felt to give this prophetic word to like basically release them from being identified by their GPA.
Wow.
To be freed yeah. from the identification of yep. a 4.0.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And to be you.
Yeah.
Because you're not a 4.0 or a 3.5 or 3.0. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that's how your entire life has been dictated
mm-hmm.
by two numbers and a dot.
Yeah.
but you're actually freed from that. And so our whole lives are scales and earning and merit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so when we hear the gospel and we go, great, how do I get a 4.0? It's like, well, actually you can't. You know?
Yeah.
The bad news is the good news. You can't do anything to earn it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? We still want to get an A+ in law class, you know?
Yeah, but yeah. Well, and it's, you know, we've been like, you know, our ears have been like, I can't think of the word, but we've been, you know, kind of coerced in with, you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, you know?
Yeah.
That's the plan for you.
Yeah.
If you can get one of those out of them, you've done a good job. You know what I mean? You'll get an extra crown.
Yeah.
But that's not this journey.
Right.
Because even Jesus says, to go back what you say, when Jesus is talking to the Marys after he's raised, he says, go tell the disciples I've come and Peter.
Oh, wow.
He says, go tell them I've come back to life. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But then he says, and tell Peter. He says, like, go tell the ones that accepted me and go tell the one that rejected me.
Yep.
That I'm back for all of them.
Yeah.
So Jesus comes back and he says, that's done.
Yeah.
That's done now.
Whoa. Yeah. And I find that it's not that everything else has no value or importance whatsoever, but I find that the more I discover who I am as a son and how loved I am and what he thinks of me, the other stuff seems to work itself out.
It does. And it becomes natural expressions.
Yeah.
I'm finding that healthy marriages are people that do the right things because they love their spouse, not to have a happy marriage.
Yeah.
It's just a reality.
Yep.
There are things I do for Bailey that are the right things, but I don't think about them being the right things. I do them because I'm madly in love with my wife.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And because of my obsession with her,
yep.
There are things I do for her I would not do for another person, and not because I know it'll lead to a good marriage.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's because of my, and that's why, you know, like, even Pops, like even Mark will say, I love it, because he's kind of moved away from the idea of spiritual disciplines and moved into spiritual graces.
Okay.
And it's just this kind of this concept of the great things we get to do.
Yeah.
And the things that are graced to us through love and obsession.
Sure.
And all these things are given to us out of love and obsession. And it's the same thing. This stuff all becomes more open the more you feel loved and the more you realize you are loved and the more he loves you and the more you love him.
Yeah. Yep.
It becomes a natural expression of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like you never, well, I say never, predominantly you will never have to tell a parent that they need to make sure they feed their kid. Now make sure you feed your kid now.
Yeah.
It is a natural expression of that, the fact that you love them.
Sure.
To feed your kid, man.
Yeah.
And so the natural expressions that we would call disciplines, you know, a prayer life, a devotional life, journaling with the Lord, they will, if they seem like a chore, it's not because you're missing some deep revelation. It's because you're not in love.
Mm. Wow.
The spiritual disciplines will always be a hassle until you fall in love.
Yep.
It's just the nature of how they work.
And then, like you said, it's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do.
Yes. It's something you get to love. Like, I'm very much one about, you know, unplugging on vacation, but like there are things I do regularly that I carry over in vacation because I'm in love with him.
Sure.
Things I read or things are how I pray. You know what I mean? That I do because I'm in love with him.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with trying to earn anything anymore.
It's not like a 9-to-5.
Nope. No. You know what I mean? Like even my personal, and it took me a while to, you know, Yahweh really helped me with this, but to get to the place of making sure that my relationship wasn't a part of my vocation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's because I'm in love.
Yeah.
And if I had another job, my personal spiritual life would not be any different.
Yeah.
It would not change an ounce.
Yep. Yep. I've heard Bill Johnson talk about that. He basically says, you know, The thing about professional intimacy from like a, you know, like a pastor's leader's perspective, is the thing about professional intimacy is we call that prostitution.
Yeah. That's, you know, so good. Yeah, it's real.
And so he talks about how we kind of prostitute ourselves out to the Lord.
Yeah.
We especially from somebody like us who are in an actual like ministry position.
Yeah,
in leadership,
sure.
Pastoral, whatever you want to call it. But when we make intimacy about our professional lives, about our work, then that's like spiritual prostitution, and it's totally missing, you know, what we're missing out on what could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and even like, you know, I've been doing the ministry thing, like, especially preaching for about almost 12 years, 11 years, 10 years, okay. 11 years.
Yeah.
When I really started like preaching. And I remember all the praying and stuff that I would do and studying leading up to a message and then preach and then go, now I get a day or two off from all that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, thank God that message is done. Now I get to take a day or two, a break from reading, a break from preaching, a break from all the stuff. And it's like, man, how have I perverted this thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? How have I perverted? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you eventually move into that place where you realize like, oh man, I couldn't earn it anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm trying.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And the, you know, you know, there's also the piece of it that like, I'm not banking on being a powerful communicator or being a powerful leader on my personal spiritual life because he's already called me to be that person. Mm-hmm. So those are gifts I already have.
Yeah.
So I don't really need to work to keep those things up.
Yeah.
My personal life is just about me being able to meet with the person that made me with his hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get to hear him tell me you're loved and you're righteous and you're holy.
And then you watch that spill over to every other aspect of your life.
Yeah. And that will, and that's the difference of, you know, and I've been working on something for this with leaders, but it says in Luke, when Jesus started speaking, that he spoke with such authority and power.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't necessarily saying something completely off the wall that no one maybe had ever heard.
Uh-huh.
It's probably similar
in
a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You read a lot of Old Testament scriptures, but it's the authority and power in which he said things.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that is what spills over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
Prayer is everything.
Yeah. So
to summarize, prayer is everything.
That's really good. Unfortunately, I think that's about all the time we've got for this episode.
Yeah, for the extended version, visit us at no, I'm kidding.
At Brian and Noah Ministries.
You can get the DVD extended cut. I miss physical media.
Right.
I miss physical media. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool.
So next week we're going to talk about application, right?
Yeah, we'll get into, I don't know when.
We'll flow as we flow.
I know we'll get there.
Yeah.
But.
In March.
I know. The thing is, I love to move really slowly.
For sure.
Through stuff. And so I promise we'll get there. But is it next week? I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Well, for all of you who are listening, thank you. We love you and we bless you. See ya.